Welcome to Waypoint, a podcast for the oncoming Maw, the Elder God who speaks to me in my dreams. He bore witness to creation and shall bear witness to the end of creation and devour it all. I'm Jules. I'm your game master. I use he, him, and she, her pronouns.
Hello, I'm Sanya. I use she, her, and they, them pronouns. I play Charlotte, who uses she, her pronouns. And I'm very excited that we finally have an episode dedicated to a god.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Viola. I use she, her pronouns, and I play Moon, who uses she, her, or they, them. And I guess I'm always glad if one of the elder ones pays attention to me. Nothing could go wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, I always awaken with my eyes on fire and bleeding.
Yeah.
But it feels special, you know?
That's
not everybody gets to do that.
It's a special connection.
People talk about, like, eyes sparking with joy and stuff. I mean, isn't that what they mean?
That's about there.
All right, is it my turn now?
Yeah.
I'm Mimi. I'm one of those they-thems. And I play Max. Pronouns pending. And I think politics and religion should not be in podcasts, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I thought,
Waypoint,
you know,
have been so apolitically and religiously conscious so far.
I know. I just thought, you know, there's some uncontroversial topics and the oncoming Maw. Like, I've never heard anyone complain about that.
Okay, yeah, true.
So actually, I have a question. Like, I know Mimi, but I don't know who the other two are. And also, where's Tess and JPG and Dana and Luca? Like, where are the people I normally record with?
It's been a really long time.
I'm kind of flabbergasted. Like, who are you people? we actually looked it up earlier, and the last time we recorded an episode was literally 7 months ago.
That's so wild.
Yeah,
it's over half a year. Yeah, it's wild.
Man, so much happened in that time.
Yeah, I mean, where, just to give, like, clarity, have you listened to Dream Squad yet?
I have. I have feelings on the matter. Very strong feelings.
And I did really bad planning and planned to listen to the last episode tomorrow, because I know I'm going to have to wait a long time for my bus and I'm going to be in pain, so I wanted to have something nice. And so I planned really badly because...
Oh, Sunny, my sweet summer child, this will not be something nice.
Listen.
Hey, there's nice stuff in there.
I am certain it's gonna distract me from my pain.
Yes.
And from my physical pain. I'm just replacing emotional pain with physical pain.
That's for every an episode reveal, we now get a genuine reaction in real time.
Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the finale. But, like, usually the most important stuff happens before the finale.
Yeah.
Like, there was a big twist in the episode right before it, the whole thing with Transistor, and the actual finale. Like, what even happened there? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't
Nothing
remember,
important.
Like, anything big.
You know, the usual, just big fights and big explosions and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing that changed the world at all.
No. Yeah. Oh, man, how long can we keep the whole thing with the nuke secret from Sunny?
Come on.
I mean, okay, it is a metaphorical nuke, this information.
Okay.
Also, like, on the topic, Mimi, did you listen to the episodes of the other two?
I did. I also did live tweets for them.
Yee.
Yeah, so you can check that out on our Twitter, in case you're still on that side.
You should. I'm very funny.
Live tweets. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, they are.
You should read them. You should not be on that site. You're going to find the middle ground there, I think. that's up to you. I'm just going to say, let's get right into it.
Yes.
Actually, also, this episode already has a name. And I'm going to say it here because it's going to set expectations for this episode. Because I want to call this episode Consequences.
What?
Well,
I've never heard of this word. What is it? Can you explain it for me?
You can learn much more about it because you're the first to have a little solo episode in this episode.
Oh, wow.
What you're telling me is that the last episode was me sowing and this episode will be me reaping?
Yes, but also, in a way, you have all sowed the fields. And you all have things to reap.
True.
So, we see like a nice little visual of Moon getting back into ship and taking off after that magical training.
And Enoch is just stuck in London.
Enoch already went back on his own. Let's say that. Will took him on a trip or something.
Oh no, hell is hell. He preferred hell to flying with ship? Wow.
Nah, he just had to get away, you know, personal stuff. We also see, like, the back of Beric's head as he, like, waves goodbye to you. You know, like, in a later episode of a show where they couldn't get the guest star back.
Mm.
We got a stand-in actor standing there. And ship takes off. And I would just like to briefly ask you, how was your wizard training?
I think it was a lot more esoterical than Moon expected. I think it was a lot about listening to the world around you and finding like the quiet moments to see the magic in them. Like they were expecting, here, this is how you connect to Earth and this is how you make a fireball. And instead it was this is what it means to be in nature and what like the elements feel like.
And also there was probably a lot of art involved in some way or other.
I think I would not be surprised if Beric would be like, okay, we will make an artist out of you, just haven't found the right medium yet and we get maybe like a tiny collage of Moon like spattered in paint or covered in dust from like different kinds of art that could be done.
I mean, you got some things in, you know. It's about the creativity more than everything, anything else, right?
So Jules, I had an idea about how I think Moon's magic might work in the future.
Sure, yeah.
I was thinking, since what Beric does is put magic into paint and paint it onto something. And that what Moon does, or did, like the first time they did actual like directed magic, was put it into a memory crystal. So I thought that like for Moon, it would be that they manifest a memory of something in the physical world. And that is how they use magic. And maybe they can even put some of that into one of the memory crystals to be used later. Mostly because I already have a move where I can use my alien tech to make some gadgets that do impossible things. Now I just do it with magic.
I can see that. That's a cool way of going about it. And yeah, as you take off, the drone that you've taken along also basically connects to the main body again. Because from what I remember, you like left the ship behind basically in the greater London area before you went on that other trip.
Yeah.
To where Beric lives. And I'd say like with that much distance, the drone was basically mainly just active in the drone body while you had it there. And now that it connects again, and you're up in the air and making your way back, which, as we know, is fairly fast.
Yeah.
The drone, or the ship in particular, reminds you, or tells you, Moon, we have received messages while I was away from my main body.
Oh? Has Max finally answered, like, the cute meme I sent her? Never mind.
In a second. Here's a message with priority urgent.
All right. Who is it from?
I have gotten a reply about all the data I have been sending from Earth.
Oh, you mean from home, not from Waypoint home.
Yes, as I am a research vessel, I have been constantly transmitting information about this planet.
Yeah?
I just got feedback, but not from Tilao.
What? Why would anyone else care about our... Who is it from then?
It is from the greater government over Tilao, the collective.
Oh, right, there was this thing where we joined them. Okay, and they looked at our research data? Why?
Apparently, Earth is a very much underreported planet. They have sent us an invite to an open connection to talk about the information.
Okay, I mean, sure, we can talk about ants and stuff, but I hope they don't think that I can, like, speak for Earth. I've barely been here, like, a few months.
Apparently, they wanted some personal input.
Okay, let's talk to them.
Yeah, and Ship does, like, open a psychic connection to you, basically. You get, like, the psychic equivalent of modem upstart noises as Ship tries to build a connection. And ultimately, yeah, you find yourself connected to another mind. You immediately notice that this is a very, very different mind from yours. It is also apparently a telepathic creature you're currently talking to. It is also like capable of speech and a lot of that. But something you immediately notice is this mind is very differently structured from either your species or from Earth.
But nothing I've felt before. Like, Tulao isn't like a vacation spot or anything, but there are some like people from other planets.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about like the collective earlier, and that you were like vaguely familiar with the collective even before you got that info from home.
Mm.
So you would know that the collective originated from like a single species. And if you've ever had contact with one of their species, they're called the Formidians. Mm. If you've ever had any connection with them, you would know that this is probably one of those minds. They're very distinct in a lot of ways, especially in that Formidians don't really have a concept of I, but instead just we.
Hmm.
While they do have like individuals in their species, they really don't recognize themselves as individuals in that way. They do have also like a very weird and distinct language, in part because their species doesn't have lips. So it's like extremely recognizable. By the fact that it just lacks a lot of sounds you need lips for.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're definitely talking with the Formidian, and with like basic knowledge about the species, you know that they have like, they're big on genetic modification. Most of their species are so-called drones, and these drones can basically be modified for specific purposes. So you'd assume, since not all Formidians are psychic, you're talking to one that has been modified to be psychic.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Hello. How are you doing?
Who am I talking to?
Moon? You said you wanted to talk about the research my ship has been gathering?
You feel that the mind you're connected to is like basically going through mental files in a way to figure out what exactly you're talking about right now and wasn't like prepared to get a call at this point. And ultimately, you do get a response, and it says, you are the one who went to X57B89-3, right?
Earth, yes.
All right, yes, we have received a lot of information from that planet, and we wanted a personal opinion from someone who has been there and has had an emotional connection to the world.
Okay, what do you want to know?
Let's start with a big question. What are your feelings on the people of Earth in general? And I think something interesting you notice, like, as these words are basically being translated through your mind, is that the Formidian word for feelings appears to be Tilao.
Oh, they had to borrow a word It's never a good sign when our language doesn't have a word for X, and X is something as important to social interaction as feelings.
Actually, something else you would have noticed if you like go back in your mind through a lot of these words that have been used is a lot of the words that have been used are words you know as a word for like a planet or like a civilization or something like that. You get the feeling that the collective, as it takes more planets into its collective, kind of gives them a home in their language as well.
That kind of reminds me of the Roman.
Yeah, in a, kind of a bit like with the Roman Empire.
Yeah, hey, you want to join our empire? Oh, you have your own gods. How about they were always part of our gods as well? Okay, friends now.
Apparently, Tilao is exceptional to them for emotions.
I mean, understandable. My feelings about Earth, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I have to admit, I've not seen much of the universe beside Tilao and Earth, you know, so it's a big difference, but humans are incredibly fascinating. I understand from what little I know about your people's culture that individualism isn't super important to you, but on Earth, every single person is totally different from the next. And they all have their own ideas and their own thoughts and their own opinions on basically everything. And they are not shy about letting other people know their opinions. Like, every single one of them believes something with their entire being to the point where it isn't even rational what they think sometimes. about how the world works and their place in it. And it's just, I don't really know what you want to know from me apart from like, Earth is awesome. And also really weird to me how they function as a society when every single one, when they can't agree on like one thing, but somehow it works for them.
That information is useful.
Really?
That is in part what we wanted to know from your input. Yes, we have determined a lot of these things through raw data so far, but we were lacking a personal perspective on it. We have identified a couple of relatively dangerous and imminent threats to humanity in general, and are trying to determine if the Earthlings can deal with that themselves, or if they need our intervention to preserve their species.
Excuse me? The Earth is in danger?
Oh, from a lot of things. There is okay. climate catastrophe on the horizon, generally oppressive economic systems, corruption to the highest level. There's a lot of problems.
I mean, yeah.
And there's a lot of meta-powered beings destroying everything all the time.
I mean, there are a few who like to destroy things, but there are far more people who actually stop them. I myself have joined a team to rein in these people who think they can get away with everything just because they are rich and or powerful. But I thought you were talking about, like, I don't know, an asteroid heading Earth's way or something. Like, that they cannot handle, but internal social stuff, they will figure it out.
I feel like an asteroid is easier to be stopped by one of your, what are they called, superheroes, than climate crisis.
Yeah, but to be honest, are we helping them by solving their problems? That will just teach them that they can do whatever they want and someone else will step in and solve all their problems. On Earth, if you mess up, you have to figure out how to do it. There isn't like this planet-sized safety net, and that means that the people itself, well, they have to take more responsibility.
We are taking your input in, and it has been very helpful. And yes, Earth is not high on our list of priorities. It is a pre-spacer world that hasn't taken the interstellar stage yet. It is unlikely that we will get to it at any point in the near future anyways. But thank you for your input. If there is no immediate threat, we don't have to immediately do anything.
May I ask what you were planning on doing?
We weren't planning to do anything. Ultimately, the decision is up to the Queen, and the Queen doesn't have an interest in Earth. It's just early threat assessment.
Okay, so I'd say Earth is not a threat to anyone. But possibly itself. Yeah, but they're working on it. We are working on it.
Good. Thank you very much. We'll let you get back to whatever it is you are doing right now. Enjoy your stay.
Thank you.
The psychic connection is severed.
Ship, what did you make of that? That was weird, right? I don't know. I have this weird feeling like if the such a big collective that encompasses all these planets, why is there one person, like one queen, making all the decisions?
I have a lot of data transmissions from the collective. From what I can gather, their queen is specifically modified for that purpose and acts in the interest of the collective, which is their name for a lot of things, but among other things, a sort of weak hive mind that connects their entire species.
Oh, so like your ants?
They are actually fairly similar to ants, yes. Their physical structure is fairly similar, and they operate in a hive-like structure with a queen atop it, with specific drones created for specific purposes to fulfill specific roles.
Okay. It's kind of sad to me that wherever I go, everyone is just, like, every planet I hear about, it's just the same mush and puddle of the same people thinking the same things. It's the same on Tilao, it's the same on the planet. I don't know. Where is Mirror Mirror from again? Like his Quicksilver puddle people? Like
The planet Hydrag.
Hydrag, right. And the collective thinks the same way, like that can't be all there is, right? Earth can't be the only planet in the entire collective who thinks that having different views on people on things could be beneficial.
Well, looking at the crises Earth is currently facing, is that individualist mindset beneficial to the survival of a species?
No, not really. Like, every single villain we've faced so far has just been one single person who thinks he's better than everyone else and he deserves all the power and he can do whatever he wants to get it. It's just... M-Tiller culture is way too stuck up in its own ways, and Earth is way too... gives like, single people way too much power, but there should be a nice in-between, right?
There should be. And Moon, I do not wish to cut this conversation short, but I have also received 53 messages from Ryan.
Oh, okay. What's he writing?
Should I summarize them for you?
Yeah.
Max has been kidnapped by the Nation of Dreamland and killed its dictator.
What?!
So, on the way back from Watchtower, you've been flying with Knight Rider for a while now, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And as previously mentioned, it has probably been relatively awkward after all that's
probably,
just happened.
Yeah, it's probably even more awkward than the way there.
Yeah. A lot has happened in a very short time.
Yes.
And I think it becomes even more awkward as the shore comes up and you start getting closer to it and you realize you're not flying to Waypoint.
Mm-hmm.
Knight Rider appears to be, flying somewhere else on the East Coast.
Wait a minute. That's not Waypoint.
What?
That's not Waypoint. Where are we going?
Knight Rider, kind of shakes his head. And says, listen, I know it's not easy for you right now, but can you trust me?
Are you kidnapping me?
I'm not kidnapping you. I'm taking you somewhere, and I think it's important.
Well, at least tell me where you're going.
We're going to a forest.
That really sounds like kidnapping.
It's not kidnapping.
Okay.
It is legally distinct from kidnapping.
It is not a kid.
Yeah, there we go.
It's abduction.
Listen, if you screw me over, it's over for you.
I genuinely mean you no harm. The opposite.
Okay, then I guess surprise me.
And yeah, you are being taken further up the coast, further north than Waypoint is. You see in the distance New York City as you fly by it. And yeah, you fly a little bit further inland to a very lush forested area where the jet bike slowly comes down over a clearing in the middle of the forest. And you see that there's something that looks like one of these weekend kind of cabin, kind of like the kind of spots that you would take a class of students to for a weekend retreat or something. There's a little play area outside, a field to play whatever sports you want, and there's this large cabin there. And that's where the jet bike comes down.
I jump off the bike and get a little bit of distance between the two of us.
Knight Rider gets up as well, takes off his helmet and puts on his hat and...
Important.
Of course, yeah. And turns around to you and takes a seat back on the bike, basically leaning against it, and says, so, I didn't take you back to Waypoint yet.
Yeah, I noticed.
From what you told me before, you had a bit of free time, right? You and your friends settled on meeting for some big community event and basically took the time off before that to do your own individual things.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but this year was not in my plans.
Yeah, but I assume it also wasn't in your plans that you'd be banished from Watchtower about a day in.
Charlotte doesn't say anything.
Listen, what happened up there? Your actions. I've been thinking about them the entire ride back. And I feel like the short time you've had so far being an active duty superhero has had a toll on you. And it's kind of maybe taught you the wrong lesson that you can fight your way through everything. I remember being a teenager myself.
Has it taught me the wrong lesson to just ignore slavery?
There are ways you can try to fix the world that aren't punching the problem. That aren't running through the wall and hoping that takes down the building.
Yeah, I understand that, but we need to free those people.
How do you propose we do that?
Well, I don't know yet, but we need to come up with a plan.
This isn't something we do. We are superheroes. We've talked about this before, but I also thought like that. You know, I remember that when I was just starting out, when I thought I could beat everything, when I could fight everything. But sometimes you gotta stop being in that teenage mindset. And
well, if it's a teenage mindset to want to stop slavery, then I'll probably never grow up.
I do, as I told you, what I can in my area, in my sphere of control, that people there aren't affected by the problems of the world. But ultimately, this is an international issue. This is something we can't just meddle with. I'm not saying we shouldn't do anything. I'm saying we are not the ones to make the change. There's people for that. But that isn't even what I wanted to talk to you about. We've been here already. What I'm trying to tell you is I feel like you need a breather. That's what this is supposed to be.
A breather from what?
From the life of a superhero.
I'm fine.
Are you trying to tell me that you haven't been through traumatic event after traumatic event in the last few weeks?
I can handle it. I've had worse.
I couldn't handle it. No one can handle it. There's a reason the SOS takes in the occasional younger hero. The occasional teenager, even. And it's despite the fact that we know that they're gonna get themselves in danger under our command. It's because we know that we can keep them back where it's necessary. You're not under my command, and I have come to terms with that, and I respect you for choosing this path. But I feel like there also hasn't been anyone there to tell you to take it slow sometimes.
Do you think my life has been easy up to this point? I've been in and out of hospitals my entire life. I have been locked down my entire life. I'm finally having my freedom. And yes, it hasn't been easy sometimes, but to be honest, I would choose this every time.
And I'm not telling you to stop. I just know how it feels to have to live up to Starbolt and to want to take that responsibility on your shoulders. I remember months where I didn't take a day off, where I fought until my bones broke. And I shouldn't have done that. Not at my age. I just want you to learn to take the time for yourself away from it all to give yourself some perspective and some time to relax.
So you brought me here to relax?
Yes, for the most part. And just to be clear, I didn't bring you here to share a cottage with you or something. I wasn't the only person who came up with this thing. I just thought I'd give you a little bit of context first. They're not quite here yet, because all of this happened a lot faster than I thought, but your parents are also going to be
My
here.
Parents? Are you insane?
I've been in contact with them ever since you rejected being in the SOS, originally because I wanted to find out more about why or how Starbolt sought you out. But ultimately, I heard from them a lot that they are also worried. And
listen, they're always worried. I walk down the stairs and they are worried. If I cough, I'm attacked with at least 5 different medications. How could you do this? You went behind my back, kidnapped me, and now you want to imprison me again with my parents?
I'm not imprisoning you. I'm opening up an opportunity for you.
You don't know them as I do.
I know if I had the chance to go back in time and spend some time with my parents that I wasted on superheroing at a very specific age of my life, I would take it.
But I'm not you.
No, I suppose you're not. You can leave at any time. I can't force you to do anything, obviously.
Well, I'm gonna stay here for one day. Okay?
Okay.
But if my parents try something stupid, then I'm out.
That's all right. As I said, I can't keep you here. From what your parents said, they just want to help you to do what I said, get some distance. I don't know them as well as you do, obviously. But, yeah.
They always want to help me, but not the way I need them to help me. It's just what they are imagining. They don't listen to me.
What do you need?
Some independence? Someone who has faith in my abilities?
It's kind of funny that you keep insisting that you're not a teenager. Because, yeah, I remember that.
Okay, maybe I sound a little bit like a teenager, but I've been also forced to be a child for way too long.
I get it, but being an adult and being independent is something you take and you choose. I feel like you've already made that step away from your parents. They don't control you, not at this point. But as someone who lost their parents pretty early on, there is value in keeping that relationship, even if it's not ideal.
I'll try.
All right. And Knight Rider basically gets back on the bike. He looks at you once more, almost like he's thinking, what if you just run as soon as he gets away? But then, like, it's not like he can stop you. And he puts the helmet back on, first the head off, obviously. And says, I'm going to have to get back to Watchtower now. I've had to make some promises to get you out.
Yeah, sorry about that. Can you ask if Robin is okay?
Yeah, I'll try. If they let me in there.
Thanks.
Goodbye, Charlotte. We'll meet again.
Goodbye.
And the bike takes back off to title drop, deal with the consequences of what happened in Watchtower as he flies away. And yeah, we can kind of like shorten up what happens here next, because Charlotte's parents will arrive over the course of the day. And I think like the moment where they get out of the car and stand in front of Charlotte, it's definitely awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last time you met was in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
After you were pretty badly hurt.
Yeah. After I ran into an explosion.
Yeah. And I feel like you would notice a difference. You kind of get the feeling that your parents talked about this in advance. So, like, your mother is very, like, unusually friendly. And like over enunciates words a little bit, like she's trying to pick them very specifically.
Yeah.
Like you get the feeling that they're really trying hard not to say something that would make you mad at them or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
you definitely have the feeling from like the short interactions you have during that first day that like your mom constantly starts talking about like, you know, the good times you had, a lot of the fun things she remembers you like. She brought like board games that she remembers you're into and a lot of stuff like that. She brought some of your favorite books from home. And she very much tries to be like, you know, a good mom. You also definitely get the feeling that she's still not fully on board with your superhero thing, but she tries not to talk about it.
Yeah.
And your dad is his usual self of not saying much and the little he says being very direct and to the point. But they definitely try. They definitely try to make a chill time for you there. You also see that the cabin here is pretty well equipped. It's very much like a retreat of sorts out
okay.
here.
Yeah, yeah. I think Charlotte would definitely try to bring up the superhero stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like Moon and Max and how mm-hmm. amazing they are and what they've accomplished together. Like she wants to show them that she's capable mm-hmm. of doing that. And also just pure excitement about what she's accomplished.
I think Rolla pierces the mask here to okay. see like how that is kind of taken.
Okay, that's an 8 plus 2 is a 10.
All right,
I
great.
I can do math.
You can ask 3 out of pierce the mask.
Ew.
What are you really planning? Sounds pretty on point.
What yeah, do you want me yeah. to do and yeah. what do you intend to do also?
What do you intend? What are you really planning? And also, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do these 3. That works. So what are you really planning? You get the idea that the plan behind this meeting, and you get that from what Knight Rider said and from what your parents are saying, even if they are not very direct on it, is you don't know exactly who started it. But the idea seems to be that your parents really don't want to lose you from their life. And that they realized, like, the last time they came to Waypoint, while it was in part amicable, that, you know, if they don't want to be a part of your life as a superhero, they really can't be a part of your life because of the path you've chosen. So the feeling you get is, in what are you really planning? They're trying to find common ground with you. Basically, what do you want me to do? You definitely get the idea that your dad at this point has made peace with the idea of you being a superhero.
Mm.
And he's giving like positive comments to a lot of the things stories you tell of the funny anecdotes you tell with Max and with Moon, and is a lot more positive on this. I think your dad would want you to be careful if possible, but he's cool with the path you've chosen. Your mom definitely would still want you to stop being a superhero, but
yeah.
also seems to have realized that that's a choice you would have to make yourself at some point, and that she can't really make you do that. And what do you intend to do? Kind of goes in the same direction as what are you really planning. What they intend to do here is just to give you a time off, to spend some time with you. Like, your mom might have a side thought of, hey, if we can have that, have a good experience here, maybe you'll stop with that silly superhero thing. But the core idea seems just to be to, like, spend time with you, help you in any way that they can help you without actively stopping you from being a superhero by allowing you some distance from it.
Yeah. Okay.
You definitely still pick up on a lot of points. Like, your mom sometimes starts one of her, like, you stumble a little bit or you're visibly in pain, and she, like, starts overreacting to it a little bit
mm-hmm.
as you're familiar with it, but tries to, like, crawl back from that. Like, that seems to be something they talked about before, that
yeah.
you're definitely not comfortable with that. Also from the last conversation you had. But she still sometimes can't help herself and dotes on you like a little bit. While your dad has become a lot more relaxed on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And in those situations seems to mostly worry about how you might react to your mom overreacting there a little bit.
Okay.
Like, in general, I'd say it has its very nice moments. It is somewhat awkward, but you definitely get the feeling that your parents are trying to put their best foot forward.
Yeah, okay. I guess I'm gonna stay with them not just a day, but maybe 3 days.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
Aww.
And ultimately, the house is booked for a while, but once you feel ready, you can return, essentially. And only then do you find out the news.
Okay.
Max, mm-hmm. You wake up slowly, very slowly. Your body kind of feels weak. You feel like you're not fully in control of it as you wake up.
That seems bad.
No, please don't be kidnapped again.
And you hear a voice, like it's coming from very far away. And other voices join in, and you hear some people discussing something that sounds like, oh, they're waking up. It's very hard to hear it for some reason. And ultimately you hear like very distracting snapping noises right in front of your face. And you feel like some energy coming back to you as you gain the ability to open your eyes again.
I do that.
You find yourself in a very, how to describe it, a very sterile-looking metal room. You, like, the closest comparison is somewhere between prison cell and hospital. You feel that you're laying on something very hard, and you see that there are a few people in the room, two people in particular, who are sitting on chairs, kind of like a little bit away from you. There's a door that leads out of the room. There's a large mirror encompassing one side of the room. And you see the two people sitting there are a woman with a ponytail and dressed in a suit who appears to be taking notes on a tablet as you're waking up. And someone of indeterminate gender as they're dressed in like very body concealing clothes. Also in a suit, but on top of that suit, a jacket. And they are wearing a completely black mask over their head with no eye holes or mouth holes, as far as you can tell.
I assume there's no sign of Rex.
You do not see Rex, no. And as you open your eyes, the woman's eyes flicker to you and she nods at you and says, "Stay calm."
Where's my brother?
He's safe. Safer than you.
You do understand how that doesn't really make me trust you, right?
Oh, we don't need trust. I think the trust thing is out of the window at this point.
How does it look with my powers? Can I use them? Have they disabled them? Am I too weak?
Your body is still like slowly waking up. If you like move your hands a little or like try to channel your powers, sparks do come out. They seem to be here. But yeah, it seems you were knocked out with something that is only very slowly wearing off. As far as you remember, by the way, during your escape trip from Dreamland, you made night at some point and found a hidden place to stay the night. And this is where you wake up.
I assume you know who I am, so want to return the favor?
She finishes her current note and then looks back up at you and sighs and says, "Sure, it's not like that information is going to do you much good. My name is Captain Gemma Ramirez. That name should be relatively useless to you. If you share it with anyone else, first they and then you will die."
Well, that was direct.
If it helps with conversation, that is my name.
Okay. Mind telling me why I'm here?
Yeah, just let me finish this real quick. I didn't know you were waking up.
Oh, I'm so sorry for disturbing you.
Ah, sarcasm. That's good. That's fine. She finishes a note she had been making and then clicks the button on the side of the tablet to put it in lock screen and puts it to the side before leaning forward onto her hands and saying, So, you made some geopolitically relevant choices.
That's one way to put it.
I'm gonna make it short. You're on fairly thin ice right now. And the mainline idea was that we just kill you in your sleep. I personally argued against that, and that's why we're here right now.
Do you just want to cut to the chase and tell me what you want me to do? Because I don't think any more conversation around the subject is going to be helpful to either of us.
That is fair. Yes, we want you to shut the fuck up about what happened in Dreamland. We don't want you to say a word about what happened and what you did to anyone ever.
All right.
Good, if we can settle on that. You will see that the official story will differ from your personal experience of the events. As far as the world will know, Doug Dreamer is still alive. His being alive has always been in question and always been hotly debated, and it will remain to be so among conspiracy theorists. However, we see it as advantageous for geopolitical world relations if people continue believing in him being alive.
As far as I know, I have repressed all memory of any events that happened in Dreamland in general.
Good. That's helpful. I hope that you're telling us the truth. If you are not, we found you in a ditch you were hiding. We can find you anywhere. And unlike Dreamland, we don't really care about state lines. So if we can just settle on that, then everything's fine. She actually gets up and extends a hand out to you and kind of sees if you have the energy yet to shake her hand on it.
I think I am going to try to shake her hand.
Yeah, your hand moves. It moves slowly, and you kind of have to your upper arm musculature is there again, your lower arm musculature not really. So you're kind of like flopping your hand around a little bit, but you do manage to shake her hand if that is what you want.
Yes, I do.
Well, unless there's anything else, we just put you to sleep again.
I'm going to assume you're not going to tell me why you left me alive.
It was a point of discussion, but there's some people who think that you can have a positive effect on the coming events.
All right.
Well, then have a good night. And she gets up, and you see that there's like a breather mask next to your head that was apparently removed in the process of which you woke up, and she would attempt to attach it to your face again.
Yeah, I think I'm going to let her do it.
You feel your senses fade, your eyes get heavy, yourself fall asleep, and then you feel yourself being awoken by early sunlight at the place you and Rex were going to sleep last night. Some hidey hole on the side of a beachfront, because you're not all the way out of Dreamland yet. And Rex is stretching himself and trying to prepare something breakfasty from a few food items you managed to steal on the way. Wow, tough sleep tonight, right? Didn't wake up until real late.
Yep.
So, what are you in the mood for? We have cookies. That's it. We only have cookies left.
I think I'm going to keep those for later.
All right. Borders next up. You feel ready for that?
I wanted to talk to you about something.
Sure, yeah.
I think we can safely say that whatever comes next is a new beginning.
I mean, guess, yeah. I mean, I don't get money from mom anymore, and also we're gonna be, you know, chased by a state.
Yeah, should be, you know, be careful when it comes to that.
Yeah, so what you're trying to say?
You know, don't ask me about anything that happened back there. Promise me that.
All right, sure, yeah.
Let's not talk about it.
I mean, we already talked about like a few things, but sure.
Let's just forget everything about this.
Roll a provoke someone. Because that does seem a bit fishy to him.
That is actually a 10 with my +3 superior.
Hey. Some solid, superior. Okay. Yeah, on a 10 plus, they rise to the bait and do what you want. Rex looks at you like he has questions for a moment, but then just nods and says, well, all right. I guess you'll talk about it when you feel up to it. I'm not saying anything.
Good. Oh, also, I was thinking that people could refer to me now as he, if, you know, just get used to that, I guess.
Rex is once again raising an eyebrow and saying, all right, sure.
Not when I'm in my superhero persona, though. Then still she, all right?
Okay, ecstatic she, max he.
Exactly.
Okay, sure. So, what are he planning to do to get across the border? I feel like I did that wrong.
It's fine. So I was thinking we could just go to part of the electric fence. I could, you know, make sure it doesn't work anymore and get us through there. It is all metal after all.
All right, that sounds good. He starts packing up the few bits you have scavenged into a satchel. He's slinging over his shoulder. And he turns around to you once again before he goes and says, just I support you in that, all of that gender thing.
Rex, I think that is, like, a given, considering that you upended your entire life to support me. You left mom and all the safety you had with her behind. And you keep supporting me even now. Listen, you're a great big brother. I had absolutely no concerns when it comes to you.
He seems very touched by that, honestly. But ultimately, he just extends a fist out to you and says, hey, anything for you. And then with like a slightly questioning look, bro?
I give him a fist bump.
And you head out.
That was so cute.
So, for the final scene, I have left it in my notes very vague, because I didn't know where all of these scenes were specifically going to go. So, at this point, I would just go through like the order of events, because based on the pre-established timeline, Charlotte would show up back at the Renegades' headquarters first.
Mm, yeah.
Moon would show up after the magic training, which I think we said earlier was planned to be like half a month or something. So, at least a week later, probably a good bit more than a week later. Charlotte would have, upon returning to the base of the Renegades, found out what happened in Dreamland. But also by that time, it would have basically already been over.
What is the official version then? Like, what actually is being reported?
So there's basically two stories being reported, I'd say. There's the story of the official telling from Dreamland that the Dream Squad, the new version of the Dream Squad, on their first mission went MIA. And the only person who made it back from the mission is Mr. Olympic, who is at this point basically also telling that story for the most part and hasn't had much more to say about the situation except for what a tragedy that all these people died on the mission. Man, we really weren't prepared enough.
Yeah, there were so many people on that mission.
Yeah, oh man. But the rest of them were all like basically kids, so come on. That's the official telling of events, and apparently casting for a new Dream Squad is currently underway. There is the more international telling of events, which is generally seen as more believable, which is that there was a rebellion through the new Dream Squad who tried to basically overthrow the country, which Mr. Olympic stopped that, maybe, mm-hmm. because he's still, like, officially associated with Dream Squad and with Dreamland. And alternatively, like, no one seems to be able to agree on if Doug Dreamer was actually attacked or died, but something that is very hard to hide and that directly disagrees with the Dream Squad story is that many people saw the corpse of Wacky. So that is something that definitely disagrees with the Dreamland version of events. And there are like social media pictures that have been immediately deleted, but that went up off that.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, also Sunny. That is also Sunny.
I'm hoping that this means that that was a good ending for Wacky and not a bad one.
You'll see. So the official version of the big news version of events is a Dream Squad tried to defeat Doug Dreamer and something in Dreamland did a politically motivated attack, and nothing has really changed politically, but there's a very big undercurrent of people who believe that Doug Dreamer may actually be dead now if he wasn't dead before already.
I think Charlotte is feverishly keeping up with news.
Mm.
Very, very concerned about
Yeah,
Max.
I'm assuming Rex and Will also come by quite a lot.
Yeah.
Not Rex. Ryan and Will. Especially Ryan comes by a lot because, like, while you're there, also the sweep of Riverside happens that Moon ultimately ran away from in a way.
Yeah.
And Ryan is just there a lot because he's participating in that. And I'd assume, like, there's probably at least one point where Charlotte is like, I could just run there and check on Max or something.
Yeah.
And Ryan is like, not a great idea. Probably shouldn't do that.
But I need to know if Max is okay.
We're just gonna check socials, you know, maybe Max is gonna show back up. And if she can make it back out of Dreamland, then, you know, that should... Max is smart.
I hate this. I don't want to wait around. I want to know if she's safe.
Look, we can ask Will, all right? Maybe Will can do something with magic.
That would actually be really great, because this just sitting around and waiting is driving me up the walls.
Yeah, I assume you can definitely find the time to do that. Like, you can talk it through with Will. Will is going to give some input on, you know, there's no way he's going to actually go into Dreamland with magic. You don't even want to know what's going on there in the magical sense. they apparently have Merlin. The Merlin is apparently working for Dreamland, and you don't want to try to cross Merlin or his stupid mouse apprentice. And Will is like, okay, as soon as Max is out of Dreamland, I can try to do a location spell, but I have to check regularly, basically.
Okay, more sitting around and waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, thus some time passes. The story develops on TV, and ultimately, as it isn't the freshest news anymore, people stop talking about it. And it is in that time span that Moon also returns to base.
Have I had any context from Max at that point?
I think, did Rex have the phone still?
I think Rex would have insisted on destroying his phone as soon as you started fleeing.
Yeah, and I assume mine then as well.
Yeah, yeah. Just because you don't want to get tracked.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Somewhere there's probably still phone booths or something. Or someone's phone you can borrow.
Borrow?
Rex would probably also bring up, in part because he likes watching spy movies, that they're probably tracking your friends' phones too to find out if someone calls them and to make sure that, you know, they figure out if it's you and can track you.
Also, joke's on you. I don't remember phone numbers.
Rex probably has actually does have like a notebook with phone numbers in it because he is your manager.
I think what I'm going to do is I will basically call Will at his place of work.
That is not a bad idea.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Will would take the phone. At what point do you do that? While you're still escaping Dreamland or after you're out?
I think after I'm out.
Okay, yeah. As soon as you leave Dreamland, you manage to contact Will. After that exciting adventure of you sneaking across the border that happens off-panel.
I just assumed that Dreamland would have electrical fences.
Yeah. You do manage to contact Will in his place of work. You get his customer service voice. which is so horrid that I cannot repeat it here.
Thank you for sparing us.
I'm a saint. But ultimately, you manage to contact him, and he immediately contacts the rest of the group. Like, Max is out. We can try to get her.
Ship, we're going.
And you do that. You go into ship. You, I'm assuming you probably settle for a point that's like, you know, a little bit off the grid.
Yeah.
Not like near a city. And you manage to find a good place for that.
I want to remind everyone that the weaknesses that I gave my ship are explicitly easily detectable and slow and clumsy.
It's fine.
It's fine. maybe you're spotted. Maybe you're being tracked all along. Who knows? So you meet in, let me look up a map, Georgia. Somewhere near Brunswick, probably.
Who is Georgia?
The European nation of Georgian.
Yes.
And yeah, you manage to meet up there. You land with ship, and a short while later, Rex and Max make their way.
I will absolutely, as soon as we touch down, run over and tackle Max in a hug.
You are not fast enough. Because
no!
Talitvat is running at high speed.
Max, take a powerful blow.
Talitvat is going to be like, oh my god, I was so worried. I've been sitting here for days and days and days and didn't know you were still alive. Never do that again, okay?
I think that's the point where you just both get tackled to the ground in Bye Bye Moon.
There's just a heap of renegades now.
Just like a cuddle puddle, as they call it.
A cuddle puddle.
And Rex is leaning against ship, and they both nod sagely at it. ship slowly moving forwards and backwards with its front side.
Yeah, the landing gears aren't may have not been calibrated for that many landing and takeoffs in that much seawater. What happened? What are you? I mean, you're not okay. But are you okay?
I am surprisingly okay.
Well,
it seems like an understatement.
It seems like everything didn't go to plan.
What was the plan?
How did this even start?
Why did you join Dream Squad? I thought we were your team. But also, thank you for coming back.
I'm going to say out loud, well, I think it must have been pretty traumatic because I cannot remember anything. But I'm going to think at Moon and Charlotte, just let's go over this later.
And okay, you immediately realize that Rex is the villain of the story and you can't reveal information in front of Rex. So this means we shouldn't trust Rex.
Also, I think this is the point where a tiny, tiny thump hits you and the ship drone has joined the cuddle puddle.
It's no longer sagely nodding. It is now cuddling as well.
I'm gonna pet ship a little bit.
It vibrates its wings happily.
Yeah, it vibrates sounding like a hornet.
All right, so I think we stuff everyone into ship. Oh god, that's gonna be tight.
I mean, four people is doable.
Yeah, you can put four people in ship. It's just
it's just like more of a cuddle puddle again.
Yeah.
You can also just go in like two journeys, but if you keep...
No, I will not leave anyone out of my sight ever again.
If you keep Rex and Moon in the ship, Rex will eat Moon. and if you have Moon and Charlotte in the ship together, Moon will telepathically devour Charlotte. So you gotta be real careful.
Yeah, let's just go in together and just stand like in a tightly packed bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, ship flies away, puttering low to the ground, overloaded.
You know, like how a bumblebee flies, just a tiny bit like it's drunk.
Like using all of its propellant to kind of make it out of over the clouds with a lot of work. So you're a little bit harder to trace. And yeah, the whole gang is brought back to headquarters.
I think while there is a silence during the flight, Max is just going to go, "So, anything exciting happened to you while I was gone?"
I mean, I landed in prison.
You what?
Yeah, you just never talked about that. You're just too busy.
What? Just for a short time.
So, Moon, is there anything you want to tell us?
I just learned magic and fought a ghost.
Okay, I think we have a lot to tell each other.
Yeah, there's actually a lot I need to tell you as well.
As you retell these stories of what happened, I'd say we do an end of session move.
Ooh.
I remembered, hey. And that actually represents doing that thing. Bam. Mechanics and gameplay and lore all together. Wow, I'm such a good game master.
I'm so
okay,
glad
nice.
Incredible.
Well done.
Was that a triumphant celebration?
Ooh, good question.
I would say it could also be a triumphant celebration. Yeah, for sure.
Mine is if I show the meaningful affection, physical or emotional.
I mean, I feel like you did that.
They decide if it's meaningful. If it's so, then I get to take influence over you. Again, I assume.
Yeah. You can make Max's stats worse.
Yeah, I actually do think that this was very necessary to have, you know, the team welcome Max back.
Yeah.
I know we had pretty similar stats, but I don't remember which exactly, so I just
That's
hope.
Perfect. Go for it.
So until now, I think at the point of connection, of meaningful affection that is being shown, Moon is just happy and glad and proud and does not know anything about the deeper things that might or might not have happened there. So I will shift your savior up and danger down? Danger stays the same. You just overthrew a government, kind of. Freak down.
Nice.
Well, my freak cannot go further down.
Oh no! I should have clicked mundane. So instead of sharing a triumphant celebration, I just make you feel...
GM's choice.
I would say in this situation, you probably... I think, like,
I would
being
guilty.
Embraced like this by your group kind of brings to mind again how fucking traumatic that shit was that you just went through.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe afraid.
Yes. Because
you realize what you actually have to lose.
Yes, I think that is very accurate.
What's Charlotte's triumphant celebration?
So I'm pretty sure, tell them whether you see them as an equal. If you do, give them influence over you and mark potential. If you don't, shift superior up and any superior up and any other label down.
I think that feels fair here, like with how the situation already went between you.
Yeah.
You definitely were mostly worried about Max, and your
feeling
team
lost.
Kind of couldn't do anything without Max. So, would you see Max as an equal or not?
I'm thinking about equal or, you know, superior than me.
Yeah, that's also what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah. I would say I see Max as superior than myself right now. Because I was so lost without him, so...
Yeah, and also, like, Max apparently, like, fucking did a lot of wild shit over there while your attempt to go against the system kind of didn't do anything.
Yeah.
At the same time. So I guess to talk yourself up again, I'm going to actually say I'll allow you to reverse this. Like, shift superior down and any other label up. Because that's kind of, like, the opposite of where this move is intended to go,
sense.
But I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, if I shift superior down, I'm gonna shift mundane up.
Oh, yeah.
So now is the end of session. And now I return.
I was actually thinking that celebration is a show for Max.
Okay.
Because he's not feeling it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a show, but it is for the team and for Rex, not the wider public. I don't know if you want to let that count.
Yeah, I would let that count. So the idea is basically like, in what way is it a show?
That I'm much more fine than, you know, is actually the case.
Mm.
And also, just in case there is still eyes on us that, you know, it everything seems normal.
Mm, yeah,
there's
okay, yeah, that
nothing
makes sense.
Wrong with me at all.
Yeah, that is fair. So if it is part of the show, you can shift your labels as you choose.
I want to shift up danger, actually, because I am a danger actively to everyone around me right now.
You are the danger. You are the one who knocks, yeah.
Jules, stop it.
And I think I'm going to shift down Savior.
Couldn't you have done it before I showed your meaningful affection?
No, like the afraid condition is perfect. The afraid condition is exactly going where I want to go.
Now, end of session. At the end of every session, choose one. You can all choose to grow closer to the team, grow into your own image of yourself, or grow away from the team. What did this arc, and especially like the ending of this arc, lead all of you to out of these three?
Grow closer to the team.
Mm-hmm. What made you grow closer to the team, just for context?
Just realizing how much I need them, and also how much I care for them, because I was just so worried that I lost a friend. So yeah, it's kind of for me saying, oh yeah, okay, I've actually become really good friends with those people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Moon also was away, and I missed them as well. So it's just for me realizing, those are my people now, and I need them.
So explain who made you feel welcome. I think like Max would be that person then in that case. The person
yes.
who made you feel the most closer to the team.
Yes.
Then give influence to Max and you get to clear condition or mark potential.
Then I'm going to mark potential.
And I'm assuming Max already has influence over you.
Yes.
So Max gets to shift your labels.
You know what would be interesting? Like the entire idea... I don't know what's going on in your mind, Mimi, but I was wondering what Max is thinking about the entire idea of still being team leader and if he's the right choice. Like,
I think, to say it short, yes, but it's a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah, I mean, we have a whole Back to Basics arc coming up that can develop that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I think I would shift down Charlotte's danger. And shift up Savior, probably.
That works.
Because it is the stark contrast to me. It is basically the inverse label change that I got.
Yeah. Okay, so now I have a minus -1 in danger and a plus +3 in Savior.
You have +3 in Savior and +3 in Mundane. You're just like the most sociable superhero of all time.
Yeah.
Just completely selfless, just a normal savior. And I'm assuming you mark potential.
Yes.
Yeah.
For me, it's also pretty clear what I want to do. Like,
okay.
I think this thing of self-discovery and magic and stuff pretty much is exactly what the grow into your image of yourself thing is supposed to do. And I think I would go with savior up, freak down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Moon is now at the point where they actually think of themselves as, oh, I can be a hero. I want to be a hero. I now have the tools to be a hero. And like I can do stuff that no one else can, but it's actually fine because I have my team.
Okay. So that puts you at what, Savior +3 and Freak -1?
Yep. Which means the magic I'm trying to use will be not work out very well. Like, every single stat I have actually inhibits my ability to use my powers and my telepathy in any shape, shape, or form.
It's fine. Okay, what about Max?
Now, the thing is, since this is for the entire arc, I would grow closer to the team, but it's about the Dream Squad.
Okay.
Because there was, like, very unexpected connections there to almost all of them.
That's fair, yeah. And also, you absolutely started out at 0 points connection to the team there.
Yeah, so I think that would be my choice here. I choose it over grow into your own image of yourself, because I don't think that, like, that has started, but it's not
that
a thing
has
that has
happen,
happened
yeah.
yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Who made you feel welcome, especially out of Dream Squad?
I'm thinking, because there's just so many choices there, because I have now a relationship with basically all of them and a very complicated one with Mr. Olympic.
Yeah.
I would probably have to go to Becca.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought too. Yeah.
Like, it was basically a choice between Becca and Wacky.
Yeah.
And I think it would be Becca who, let me look, I still have the influences from the Dream Squad around. Because I think she has influence over me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dana.
Yeah.
Hey, Dana, when you listen to this episode, I know you're not caught up yet, so when you listen to this episode in a couple months, shift Max's labels. And also, Max gets to clear conditional mark potential.
I'm going to mark potential.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm.
I mean, you are afraid.
Should we make the label change, just GM's choice?
Yeah, we can do that. I'm going to make a label change in character as Becca.
Yes.
Okay, translating Becca. Hi, y'all. Okay, we got it.
just channel Becca for a second.
I think in getting to know you, and especially like in a lot of the stuff that happened in the final episode, probably superior down, danger up is where I'd be going.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm so dangerous right now.
But like not in a negative way.
Yeah,
like danger up in you are very dangerous, but you can use that effectively. And superior down in that you started off feeling like extremely distant from the team, but your time with them
and
kind of gave you perspective on that.
Let's also not forget that right in the beginning, when we were making plans against Dark Dreamer, Max was the one who said maybe we shouldn't kill him.
That is true.
Yeah. Like, not out of any bigger moral qualms, but mostly because of the unforeseen consequences that could have.
Mm. And with those character questions resolved, I'd say this is probably a good point to end this episode before next time we start our new arc.
Yay!
Should I just say what advancement I take? Because I already know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sure.
You have an advancement, right. Yeah, what do you want to take?
I do, yes. Let me just... So, I am going to take someone permanently loses influence over you, add plus one to a label.
Okay, nice.
Don't pick Dana.
I'm happy to say that Max's mother does not have influence over her anymore.
Yeah, that seems fair. That seems very fair.
And I'm going to up my freak.
Okay, nice. Your freak goes to a negative one.
Yeah, I think it's the whole deviation from what Max was told, just what he was supposed to be like. And just breaking away, you know, from his mother. And then also the whole gender thing, it would probably make him feel a bit more freaky, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you were just at the most unfreak point ever.
That's, yeah.
A little bit of balance. Nice. All right. Then it's very nice to have y'all back.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be back.
Yeah. I missed you guys.
I did enjoy my massive cast of AP veterans, but I'm so glad that we're the gang again.
Yay.
It was very nice listening to our own podcast as a listener, but I'm also very glad that
I can imagine
get back to dealing with the entirely predictable consequences of our foolish actions.
yeah, like something like that, yeah. Yeah, next episode we'll have the gang returning to Waypoint. We'll see in our coming arc how that whole community event thing is going to go.
Yeah.
Among many other things, I'm sure, that will extend the arc into never-before-thought lengths and territories because of stuff I could have never predicted. And we hope you stick around to hear what the Renegades get up to next. And until then, you can contact us if you want to know more, or if you just want to talk, or if you just want to say, hey, this is what I thought of this episode, on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky at WaypointPod. You can send us an email, waypointheroes@gmail.com. If you like our main theme tune, you can look up I'm Persky on Bandcamp. And if you want to talk to us individually, we are also on some of these sites. You'll figure it out. You're a smart cookie. I know you.
Cookie.
And until next time, I'd say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.